Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn with me to John and chapter number 5, please. John and chapter number 5. I think you'll find a familiar verse here. In verse number 24, John 5 and verse number 24. I want to preach to you tonight what I believe is an important message. It is basics of Christianity kind of a message is what it is. Might think of it maybe as a message that I would more typically preach on a Sunday morning when we had a lot of visitors or something like that. But I believe it's what God wants for His people tonight. Amen. And I hope this will be a faith-building exercise tonight. Stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, one verse, John 5 and verse number 24. John 5, 24, reading aloud together. Ready? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Notice here, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Shall not come into condemnation. Pass from death into life. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, faith's object. Faith's object. Heavenly Father, please, through the power of your Spirit, let me convey in this message the truths that I think could be so encouraging to your people. And I think perhaps, Lord, make us more fruitful and more productive for the cause of Christ. And I need your help. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. And let me clearly communicate what you put on my heart tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I love personal soul winning. I love talking to people about the Lord. And I have heard a lot of, as many of you have, a lot of responses to the question, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? I like that question. It's a pointed question. It makes you uncomfortable, amen, which is good for us. If you're dying today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? I don't always word it that way. I ask the question and present approach the conversation about Christ different ways. But that's a pretty poignant question. And I want to touch on a response that I've heard quite a few times over the years. And one that I think applies to us, and I understand tonight I'm talking primarily to those that have been born again already. Maybe not. Maybe you need to be saved tonight. But maybe God show you that tonight. I don't know. But I realize I'm preaching primarily to God's people. But I have heard this before. I'm going to heaven. Yes, I know I'm going to heaven. Now, most of the time I have a follow-up question to that. That's wonderful. Now, tell me how you know that. Tell me how you know that. By faith. My faith. How many of you heard something like that before? My faith. Now that means, I'm sure, different things to different people. But I think in that context, more often than not, a person is talking about a set of beliefs. And the Bible does use the word faith in that way. It says to contend for the faith. In other words, that body of a biblical belief. And how do you know my faith? And so I'm having another follow-up question. So what exactly are you trusting to get you to heaven? My faith. My faith, comes the answer with a little frustration now. Why do you keep asking me this? I told you, I'm a person of faith. How many of you heard that phrase? I'm a person of faith. What does that mean exactly? Now, when we talk about salvation, we're trying to get to one thing. One thing that I tell folks, we got to leave two ladies, a mother and a daughter yesterday, Brother Dave and I, knelt down by the window of their car. They were sitting in their car getting ready to pull off and drive to South Carolina. And the Lord gave us an opportunity, and they opened a conversation. We were very interested. And I knelt down there by the car door. And I said, now listen, their answers were the answers were revealing something to me, and I was trying to get them to see something. And I told them this: when I keep asking questions, and sometimes people don't like that, I tell them, say, look, I'm a pastor, and I'm like a doctor. I'm doing exploratory surgery. And that usually gets a little chuckle like that. And that lets me ask a few more questions till I can get to the bottom of it. And years ago, two guys peddling some wares. It was an old auditorium. This building wasn't here. I was in the old auditorium one day, one morning, just studying and walking and praying and so forth. And these two guys walked in and tried to sell me their bag of wares. And anyway, I didn't buy anything. But before they left, I said, hey, can I ask you a question? Yes. If you die, do you know you go to heaven? Oh, yes, I go to heaven. I said, oh, okay, great. And they turned to walk. I said, tell me how you know that. A guy said, I've been born again. I thought, well, that's a good answer. I've been born again. Amen. And so he turned around to leave again. And I said, when were you born again? He said, well, I don't know. I don't remember exactly. I was just a baby. I said, oh, boy, that told me something. I said, so how does one get born again? He said, well, you know, but that's when they baptize you. Guess what I knew? This old man needed to be born again, biblically born again. And I'm glad to tell you that about 30 minutes later, sitting on the back pew, he got saved. Amen. And so here we are, and asking questions and doing exploratory surgery. And a person said, do you know you're going to heaven? I'm going to heaven. How do you know that? My faith. Really? So what are you trusting in heaven? My faith. Well, now, wait a minute. What I'm getting to in exploratory surgery, I want to figure out what a person is trusting in for their salvation. Because that's the whole issue. The whole issue of salvation is what is the object of your faith. That's the whole issue. If your faith is in Buddha, you're going to be disappointed. If your faith is in Muhammad, you're going to be disappointed. If your faith is in Pastor Shook, you're going to be disappointed. If your faith is in Brother Hamilton, you're going to be disappointed. I'm sure you are already anyway. But if your faith is in that Baptist, whatever your... Listen, the object of your faith, that's the question. That's the issue right there. The issue is whatever faith that you have, and everybody, by the way, God has given to every man the measure of faith. Somebody says, I have no faith. Yes, you do. God said you do. He's given to every man the measure of faith. Now, faith can be diminished. Faith can grow. But every man has faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith. And that, what's it referring to? That, not of yourselves. What? What's the that referring to? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith, not of yourselves. You don't have to work up faith to get saved. It's a gift. And that faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Listen to this. God says you get saved by putting your faith in me, and here's the faith. What a God. Yeah, I can't trust. The devil told you that. Because God said he'd given every man the measure of faith. Amen. Now, I'm hoping my faith is growing tonight. I want my faith to grow. You want your faith to grow. But I know this, that you have a choice. God's given you a free will. You can put your faith wherever you want to put your faith. But the question is, what is the object of your faith? Corrie Ten Boom told this story. She traveled, you know, after she got out of Ravensbrück, she traveled extensively, went all over the world. Teaching and evangelizing and she told us a little story. It's just a brilliant way of taking little stories and illustrating spiritual truths. And she told a story about being, I think she was in Thailand, if I remember correctly. But if it wasn't Thailand, it was another country. Anyway, she was overseas somewhere. And they came to what seemed like a rickety bridge. And she was in a vehicle with two or three other folks. And the conversation began, should we cross this bridge with the vehicle? Well, while they were discussing that and looking at the situation, the driver got out and went over and looked at the bridge, crawled up under the bridge, walked the bridge, walked to the other side of the bridge, looked up under the bridge, came back across the bridge, and presently got in the vehicle and began to drive. Now, the folks in the vehicle weren't sure about that. Well, we don't know if we're ready for this or not. But the driver had investigated not the confidence of the people in the vehicle in the bridge. He had investigated the bridge. The object of their faith was not how they felt about the bridge. The object of their faith was the bridge. And the driver said, I've investigated the bridge. I've looked at the bridge. The bridge is secure. The bridge can handle the load. And off they went. Now everybody in the truck, in the vehicle, was panicked. What are we doing? And the driver's, why? Because his faith was not in their faith in the bridge. His faith was in the bridge. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? Faith, listen, faith must have an object. And when it comes, let's talk about salvation. When it comes to salvation, the object of our faith is Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. The gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So salvation's object is Christ's sacrificial death. Now here's the question, very simple. Is what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary when He shed His precious blood and rose from the dead 3 days later, is that sufficient to save a lost and dying world, yes or no? Is the sacrifice of Christ, is the integrity of that sacrifice, is it sure? Are we unsure about the sacrifice? Too many of us want to put our faith in the sacrifice. I don't know what I just said, but I think it was good. Do you understand what I'm saying? We want to put our trust in our trust. But let me tell you something. Jesus looked at His disciples on more than one occasion and said, your faith is weak. And one occasion at least He said, you have no faith. On that point, at that moment, in that trial, in that storm, He said, your faith is zero. But the faithful one was in the boat with him. And may I say, my dear friend, my destination is not in my faith. It's not determined by my faith. My destination is determined by the object of my faith. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest frame, nor wholly lean on my own faith, or my own feeling about my faith, or what the way I feel today or tomorrow. No, sir. The bridge can handle the load. Amen. The object of my faith in the matter of salvation is Christ's sacrifice. Now let's back up even before salvation. Let's talk about conviction for a moment. We do know this, that you don't get saved whenever you feel like it. You get saved when the Father draws you, the Bible said. John chapter 6, verse 44, no man can come except the Father draw him. It is the working of the Holy Spirit. John 16, 18, Jesus said to His disciples, He said in chapter 16, He said, look, it's necessary for me to go away. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. And the Holy Spirit's job is to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That word reprove is like our word convict. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. May I say this? No conviction, no conversion. No conviction, no conversion. By the way, can I say this? You say, how do you know that person got saved? I don't. Really? Yeah, really. Everybody okay? I don't know if you're saved. I don't know. I certainly profess to be saved. I know I'm saved. Amen. I don't know another man's heart. I don't know another man. I don't know who sits there. And you know what I found out? I found out when I try to figure out who's sincere and who's not sincere, I lose my soul-winning fervor. And I have to go back and say, you know what, listen, it's not my job to try to figure out if a person is ready, if my job to try to figure out if a person is sincere. Listen, if tears prove sincerity, but you know what some of those faithful people I ever met? Our people weren't very emotional. I've seen couples get up here, cry when they got married. Will you have this woman to be your lawful wife? Yes,
I do.
And will you have this man to be your lawful wife?
I do.
And they don't stay married for 5 minutes. And then, will you have this woman? Yep. Will you have? Yep. I pronounce you husband and wife. And stay married. Look, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what tests and trials are going to come. It's not my job to scrutinize someone's sincerity. It's my job to be faithful to the commission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? That's my job. But we're talking about conviction now. Wait a minute. Conviction is this. Will you or will you not respond? Here's the question. Will you or will you not respond to the Father's drawing? Will you respond to the Father's drawing? Now, wait a minute. That means this. That means to get saved, you have to agree with what God the Spirit tells you through His Word. It's not a certain display. It's not tears. This is what God said. I am convicted. I am implicated by this, and I agree with Him. I know what He says. I'm a sinner, and I know that sinners die and go to hell, and I am willing to humble myself and say, yep, that's me. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. Now listen, the conviction that leads to salvation is simply agreeing with the Holy Spirit. Let's see if I can explain. You've heard these illustrations. But you go see your heart doctor, and your heart doctor says, man, it's not good. You got 90% blockage here and 75% blockage over here, and these two over here, you got nothing. 100% blockage. And I'm telling you something, you get ready, you're on the verge of a widowmaker. You're on the verge of a heart attack, and you need surgery. Now, you got a choice. You can either agree with the surgeon who has diagnosed your problem, shown you your need, and told you the potential devastation. Or you can say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I do or not. And the surgeon says, let me tell you, you do. Well, I tell you what, I might do that. No, he said, you know, you need this. Now, listen, what you need to do is trust what the Spirit is telling you. Amen. Don't argue with the surgeon. Amen. Don't argue with the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit convicts, say, yes, I agree with you. Amen. That's what I need. Amen. Yes. You put your faith in the object as far as conviction is. The object is the Holy Spirit. That's His job. It's His job to reprove. And if He comes to you and He convicts your heart and says that you need to be saved or whatever else, you need to give up that music. What do you do? Don't resist Him. Don't resist Him. Trust Him. Amen. The Holy Spirit has our best interests at heart. Amen. By the way, you don't have to worry about what He's telling somebody else. Just worry about what He's telling you. Amen. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our guide. He will guide us into all truth. What is a guide? Stand up for just a minute. What's a guide? A guide is not someone who says, that's where you're supposed to go. A guide is somebody who says, okay, follow me now. Come on now, follow me. Come on, a little faster now. Come on, follow me. A guide doesn't just take off and say, all right, here we go. We're going down here now. Everybody, and they turn around and then, where are they? No, a guide is someone who interacts with you, responds. Hopefully you respond to the guide. If you want to go somewhere, you're going to respond to the guide. And you come, follow me here now, and you come to an intersection, and the guy says, now here we are, we're gonna turn to the left, okay? And we can go straight, or we can turn to the left, you can come up. Now, I didn't coach him ahead of time. He's always been stubborn, pushing back against conviction. Now, you can follow the guide, or you can go your own way. Which would be that way. You can go your own way. And now here's a wonderful thing. Here's a wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will... You're taking the long way around. It was a lot shorter that way, and it's a lot steeper this way. But here we go now. Thank God he didn't give up on us. Amen. He said, I'm afraid he gave up on me. The fact that you are thinking about it proves that he hasn't. Why? Some people say, the unpardonable sin. Thank you. the unpardonable sin is the Holy Spirit. We're not done yet, actually. The unpardonable sin is when the Holy Spirit draws you and you say, no, I'm not going. And the Holy Spirit said, come on now. And the Holy Spirit said, come on, let's go, come on. You need this, you need that. And your flesh says, oh, that'd be embarrassing. No, come on, you need this. And you say, no, I was baptized earlier. Come on, you need this. Wait a minute, now listen. The Bible says, my spirit will not always strive with man. You can cross a line when you die. The rapture is a big, bold line. If the trumpet sounds and you're lost, you're no chance for you to be saved. If you die without Jesus Christ, there's no chance to be saved. But there's another line, and that is there can come a time where you resist the Holy Spirit to the point where the Holy Spirit says, all right, I won't convict you anymore. That person can't be saved. You know why? They'll never want to be saved. The Bible says no man can come except the Father draw him. Through the Spirit's conviction, we are drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen. And yes, we're talking about salvation, but we're talking about every area of the Christian life. What you don't want to be hard. You want your heart sensitive and soft. And the object of your faith and growth in the Christian life is saying, Holy Spirit, you know what's best for me. You know what changes need to be made in my life. And if you convict me, I'm going to trust that it's for my best. I'm going to trust that you're guiding me in the right way, and I'm going to get it right. The object of our faith is the Father's drawing. Let's talk about assurance of salvation. The salvation, the object is Christ's sacrifice. Assurance of salvation, Christ's word. What did he say? John 5:24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall... You know what? Are you there in John 5:24? Let's go through the Gospel of John. Let's have a good time. Circle these verses. We're going to go back. Let's start at John 1. You've never done this. This is a good exercise. You ought to have these marked, highlighted or something in your Bible. John 1, verse 12. Listen, you know why the devil wants us doubting our salvation? Because you'll never be effective as a Christian as long as you do. You won't. You won't be not as effective as you could be. You try to sell tires. Some guy says, are these good tires? Oh, these are great tires. Oh, man, really? How long have you been using them? Well, I don't use them, but I think you ought to use them. You're not going to sell too many tires, right? You sell a car. Go over here to the Chevy lot. Do we have a Chevy lot? Yeah, we got a Chevy lot. Go over to the Chevy lot. Say, man, you ought to buy this Chevy. Silverado is the best truck there is. Really? Wow. Oh, yeah, man. It's the greatest truck ever. No kidding. Let me get that. Hello. This is the greatest truck ever. Somebody owes me a pizza. Greatest truck ever. Really? What model do you have? Oh, I don't have one. I have a Yugo. Did you really? You look like the kind of guy that had a Yugo. That was back when you weighed a little less than you did. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Now, listen, you try to convince a guy, here, buy this Chevrolet. What do you drive? Well, I drive Fords, but I think you ought to buy a Chevrolet. Now, let me tell you something. Mix that however you want to. You'll never be effective unless you believe in yourself what you're trying to tell somebody else. Amen? You might sell a few. But if you want to be effective, you got to believe in it yourself. Amen? So the devil wants us tied in knots about our salvation. He doesn't want us to have assurance. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that, what? Believe on his name. Now, I got this for you. You either believe or you don't believe. Very simple. Turn to our text, John 5:24, if you haven't marked that one already. Mark it. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Have you heard God's word, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you heard it? Say amen if you have. Did you believe it? All right. He that heareth and believeth what? Hath what? Everlasting life. You see that? And shall not come into condemnation. Well, what if you slip up and say a bad word? Shall not come into condemnation. Well, what if you quit church? Shall not come into condemnation. What if you this or what if you that? Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. Go back to chapter 3. Go back to chapter 3. We'll bounce around a little bit. I missed one here. Let me get it for you. Let's look at a couple of them here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, the object of our faith, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? That's a promise. Look at verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not what? Not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the difference maker. Unbelief. That's why a man's lost. Not because he gets drunk. Not because he curses or swears or quits church. He's lost because of unbelief. Because he hadn't put his faith in the Savior. Look at verse 36 of the same chapter here. Chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath what? Everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Go over to chapter 6 and look at verse 35. Chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. How many of you are a human being? You qualify as a member of, as a part of mankind, the humankind. Amen? And no man, no one who is of the humankind, no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Here he is. Here it is. Look at me. Here we are. We're in Jesus' hand. Amen? That's where we are. Amen? And Jesus is in God's hand. Amen? That's a double whammy. Amen? That word whammy is in the Greek there. Amen. Hey, listen. And no man, no one, no human being. How many, you say amen if you're a human being. Amen. No human being can pluck them out of my hand. Yeah, well, what about a person that leaves God's hand? Well, the Bible says that his hand spans the heavens. Amen. We talked about the morning star that is 28 billion light years away. 28 billion light years. That's traveled 28 billion years to 286. What is it? 186,000 miles a second. Did I get it right? 186,000 miles a second. If you're going to leave, you better get walking now. You better hurry. Oh, let me tell you something, my dear friend. I'm talking about secure. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in God. Hallelujah. See, the object of my assurance is not how I feel about God's Word. The object of my assurance is God's Word. Do you understand what I'm saying? The object of my faith for salvation is not my faith in my faith. My object is not my faith. The object of my salvation is not how I feel about the bridge. It's the bridge. And the object of my salvation is not how I feel about Christ's sacrifice. It's Christ's sacrifice. And my assurance is not how I feel about God's promises. My assurance is His promises. You go to the doctor, and he says, now look, I've done this surgery, literally, I've done this surgery 1,000 times or more. And I looked at your x-rays. I could almost do this with my eyes closed. I won't close my eyes. But I'm just saying, you're going to be fine. You're going to be just fine. And you say, but doctor, I don't know. I got this terrible, terrible feeling. I just don't feel good about this surgery. He says, no. Listen, I'm telling you, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. I've done it. I know you're going to be just fine. It won't take long. You're going to come out. But I don't know. I just have an awful feeling about this surgery. Scenario number two. The doc says, you need surgery. You need surgery. If you don't get it, you're going to lose your life. Oh, doc, I feel pretty good. I don't need no surgery. I'm good. You see, the deficiency in both cases is the assurance that comes from trusting that surgeon, his ability to do what he said he's going to do. Amen? It's not how I feel about what he said. It's him. It's my confidence in him. It's not how I feel. It's not my faith. I'm not putting my faith in my faith. I'm putting my faith in Christ. And my assurance comes by putting my faith, not in my faith in the promises. I put my faith in the promises. I hope that makes sense to you tonight. Let's talk about sanctification. Go to Romans 8. We looked at it this morning. Let's look at it again. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, what? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is our destiny? What is our to be conformed to the image of His dear Son? Listen, the object of my faith in the matter of sanctification, in the matter of victory in my life, the object of my faith is Christ's continued work in me. He which began a good work in you, Philippians 1:6, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen. Paul said it this way, Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Listen, sanctification is not about trusting in my own sincerity, trusting in my own effort. Listen, I'm not saying that we ought not work hard for Christ, but victory comes when we realize that it is Christ's work in me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's I'm crucified with Him, and He's living His life through me. Victory doesn't come because I'm separated, or I'm sincere enough, or I work hard at it enough, or I try enough. It comes by believing and trusting that Christ is faithful to do His work in me and through me, conforming me day by day into His image. Let's talk about testing. Testing. You're going to get some bad news somewhere along the line. And you're going to say, Oh, no. Oh, I hope my faith is strong enough. Oh, my faith is strong enough. I don't know this test. Maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe some tragic thing. Maybe it's a new life. We got some young men here, young ladies here. You're getting ready to move to a new life stage. Oh, I hope my faith is strong enough. I hope. Hey, listen. The Bible said, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation, that's testing, no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will not allow, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Are you with me? Who will not allow you, will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. Listen, you want to pass the test? You want to pass the test? Don't investigate the strength of your faith. Investigate the faithfulness of God. Investigate His power. Investigate His supply. I don't know. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. The object of our faith is not our faith. Object of our faith is the faithful one. Every one of us will fail him, but he never fails us. Peter said, I'll never do that. You know what he was trusting? I'm determined. Ain't no way I'll fail. I'm too determined. You're on shaky ground, friend. That'll never happen to me. You're on shaky ground, friend. What you ought to say is, by God's grace, that'll never happen to me. Why? Because every day I come to Him and say, God, be merciful to me. Go out every morning, wake up, and say, God, can I have some of that fresh compassion that's new every morning? Amen? Like fresh bread baked. Fresh baked bread, go to a bakery, like going to the, where do we go? Dollywood. Go to Dollywood and how many of you ate cinnamon bread at Dollywood? That's why I go, amen. Listen, 10 minutes is too long to wait for a roller coaster, but 2 hours is not too long to wait for cinnamon bread. But it's fresh baked and you can smell it halfway around. And He says His mercies are new every morning. Amen. And you get up in the morning and you say, God, I'm so weak. I'm so weak. My flesh is so stubborn. I can't do it today without You. I can't do it today without You. I don't want to fail You, God. Fill me with Your Spirit. Oh, God, take control of my mind. Take control of my lips. Take control of my ears. Take control of my eyes. It's not your confidence and your determination or your decisions or your public commitments. It's a daily dependence on He who empowers us to live a victorious Christian life. The object of our faith is not our faith. It's His faithfulness, His power, His love, His presence, His wisdom, His sovereignty, His purposes. Quit discussing your faith and get out and crawl up under the bridge and jump up and down on it. Amen. J. Vernon McGee in his commentary on the book of Hebrews tells about his little hometown down in Texas, and a torrential storm came through and washed the wooden train, the bridge that the train used, washed it on down the river. And so they came in and they rebuilt the bridge, built a steel bridge. And there's about 27 kids in the whole town, just a little spot in the road, not much more than that, little tiny little spot down in rural Texas. But the train went through that little town, and they worked and worked and worked on the bridge. And finally one day, they heard two whistles blowing. Now, they never heard that before. Every little boy in town, all 27 of them, took off running to the bridge and stood there in amazement as two brand new, shiny, big old train engines, both of them, parked on the bridge together, blowing their whistles. Engineers up there. Finally, after quite a while. They stopped the whistling and somebody called up to the engineer and said, "What in the world are you doing?" He said, "We're testing the bridge." "Testing the bridge? Well, good night. Aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid it's going to fall in?" He said, "We're not testing the bridge to find out if it will hold. We're testing the bridge to prove that it won't." Can I tell you something, my dear friend? Jesus Christ in the wilderness. You say, what if he had sinned? Would it have proved that God can sin? No. It would have proved that Jesus wasn't God, because God can't sin. And when Jesus passed the test, that's another proof that that was Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. Amen? The testing simply proved the integrity of the bridge. Amen? Let me tell you something. The bridge will hold. The bridge will hold. The bridge will hold. Amen? The faithful God will be faithful. Paul wrote in Timothy, he said, if you get to the place where you say, "I don't believe," listen to me. He said, "Yet he abideth faithful." I've had people tell me that. Listen, I had a fellow tell me this. He said, I'm a Christian Scientist now. You know why he said that? Because he was living like a heathen. Living like a heathen. I got news for you. You'll be miserable. You're going to have to try to convince yourself you don't believe so you can live with yourself. But if you are God's child, you get ready to get chastised and maybe a trip to heaven early. A sin unto death, as the Bible calls it. But the point is this. Even if I get to the place where I'm full of doubts and fears, yet he abideth faithful. Amen. It's the object. And the object of our faith has never failed. Shall we stand?